anniversary. I'm getting to preach today, and I'm looking forward to it. So I'm going to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our Savior, our exemplar, our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, let's jump into this. There's a lot going on, and my sermon title is Salty Sayings. And I'm going to steal a little thunder from what Eric was just saying. I mean, salt is a good thing, right? I mean, it's in its proper perspective. Rudy, our sound guy, I follow him on Facebook, and he's always coming up with great meals. For those of you who have some remembrance of being in the service or having service-connected stuff, when I was at Fort Sam Houston many years ago, we used to have something called S.O.S. And I won't say what it stood for, but it was a delicious, nutritious meal, and I love to eat it. But if it could get too salty, right? And if it wasn't salty enough, it's like, well, forget it. But you wanted to put the salt on there because it made it taste really, really good. I remember buying a cherry pie from one of the saints in our community who had a real good name for herself for being a great baker. And it was like, oh, I definitely want to get her cherry pie. And so I bid on it and bid on it. And, you know, we had the back and forth. And I won the bid and I won the pie. Got it home. And this sweet lady, I know what she did. Somehow, she misplaced the sugar for salt. And just imagine, Lana, what that tasted like. You know, Erica said that salt could preserve. Well, yeah, it could preserve that. I suspect that cherry pie is still preserved. But I couldn't eat it, all right? And that was just money to the cause that I gladly donated, but that pie was gone. Jesus is saying that we're to be like the salt of the earth. We're to be that flavorful ingredient in life, not just for ourselves, but for those around us. And oddly enough, as odd as this scripture is, this whole thing about casting stuff out and cutting things off and going to hell and all that bit, I still believe that for me, this is a powerful passage that I need to hear, and I need to look at periodically. I don't know about you, but I find myself living right now in a time and in a place where my life seems to be polarized from those around me. There's division in our nation, in our world, in our church. And I don't mean Travis Park, but I'm just talking about the Methodist Church in general. I mean, right now, we're struggling over what does it mean to be a United Methodist? What does that mean? There are whole groups that are ripping and tearing and struggling to figure out what does that mean. And in February of next year, there's going to be a big general conference where we actually talk about, and not just talk about, but vote on what does that mean. There's a song that the Eagles sang. Gavin, you're probably too young to remember this, but it's called "It's Going to Be a Heartache Tonight." And when that happens, when this big vote happens, there's going to be a heartache. Somebody is not going to be a part of the body of United Methodism, is my hunch. I mean, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to just simply say, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a United Methodist? What does it mean to be an American? What does it mean to be a part of the world? What does it mean to follow Christ? And Jesus says, he gives us a hint. He says, well, it means that you're someone who preserves the good things in life. You're someone who is able to flavor life and make it good and to be a joy to be around, to add some excitement, to some spice to life, that it's a good thing. And when we follow the Holy Spirit, those things happen, I believe. All right, thank you. So, that being said, let's look at the scripture and see what's going on in here. And right off the bat, you get a hint of what happens, why we get divided, why there's division, why there's polarity. The disciples see somebody doing something that they don't like. Now, I know that's never happened at Travis Park, right? I know that you've never been a part of a church that somebody did something you didn't like. Everything went just fine. But in the churches I served, there was always somebody or a program or a worship service or a pastor or a sermon or a choir or name it, that somebody was doing something that we didn't like and we wanted them to stop it. And that's what happened. That's what happened. The disciples saw a guy who was not a part of the group, who was healing, casting out demons. And the disciples didn't like it because why? They couldn't do that. You may remember that one of the things Jesus said was he sent them out to cast out demons and they couldn't do it. But here's a guy that's not a part of the group and he's casting out demons. And man, they didn't like it. And so they said, we told him to stop. And Jesus says to them and to us, don't be doing that. We're all part of the body here. We're all doing the best we can. And if he's working on this, if he's casting out demons, if he's creating miracles, if he's doing good things, he's a part of the body here. He's part of the family. He's on our team. And don't forbid him from doing this. I love that about Jesus. I love that about Jesus. I love that inclusivity that he has. Don't do it now, but if you're not a member here, if you're a visitor, or if you're a longtime member, look at the back of the bulletin and look at our mission statement. Look at who we are, this inclusive, universal, inviting group that says, we don't care who you are, we know that you're a part of the body. You're part of the family of God, and you belong here. It doesn't matter what your credentials are, what you don't have, what you do have. You're one of us, we're one of you, and we're better when we're all together than we are when we're by ourselves. And we're not going to tell you, don't stop doing this. We celebrate your ministries, whatever that might be. We celebrate your light. We celebrate your life. We want that to continue on. So let your light shine and be who you are. You know, we sang that song, O Church of God United. It's an old, old hymn, but it just speaks to me so well. And this is really what my whole sermon's about. We are a church of God in Christ, united. We don't always act like that. We don't always know that. We don't always remember that. But when we do, we are embodying and we are in answer to the prayer that Jesus himself prayed in John 17. He said, Father, I am one with you and you are one with me, and I pray that they all may be one. Not just some of us would be one, not just a portion of us would be one, or not just the ones I like would be one, but that we would all be one. Jesus did that over and over and over. The people, the ministries, the folks he saw, the places he went was always to bring that message. You belong. God loves you. And I love you. And you deserve life and life that's rich, full, and abundant. I want to give it to you. I want you to experience that. Gee whiz, I mean, the stories that are out there, there's so many that I resonate with. I guess my favorite, well, I can't say my favorite, they're all favorites, but I think of the Canaanite woman, for instance. The Canaanite woman who's living way, way out in Canaan, and there's no Jewish person would ever have gone there. And you would have to go there. There's no reason for them to go there. You don't just go through Canaan. Now, you can go through Samaria, but you don't go to Canaan. No one goes to Canaan except the Canaanites. And they were hated and despised. They were known as dogs. They were called dogs by the Jewish people of the time. Jesus goes to a Canaanite woman whose daughter is dying, is sick. There's no reason in the world for him to do that. There's no reason in the world for him even to be in the area, let alone go into this woman. And he does that and brings the disciples with him just to show who he is and what he's all about. He goes there and he says, you know, of course, that the people think that you're just a dog, right? She goes, yeah, I know that. She said, but you know what? Even dogs have the right to eat the crumbs that fall off the table, right? And he said, oh, good answer. He said, you know, you get it. You get it. That not that God thinks that you're a dog, and I certainly don't think that. Everybody else might think that. But your Heavenly Father, and I know that you're not that, and you belong. And even the crumbs off the table, if they're my crumbs, let me tell you, you will be fed, and you'll know you've been fed, and you will eat, and it will be good. And her daughter was healed and saved at that very moment. My Lord. Centurion, Roman centurion. I mean, the woman who was bleeding all her life. I mean, people that were on the outside, always looking in. Those are the people that Jesus held up and said, here's a person of faith. Here's a person that you want to be like. Here's someone that we want to emulate and honor and walk the way they walk. We want that same kind of stuff in our own lives as well. This is my favorite story. The thief who's dying on the cross. The thief who's dying on the cross, and he says to Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you get into your kingdom. And you know, if you think about it, this thief is actually offering Jesus a cup of cold water, right? I mean, he's affirming that even in death, I know who you are. Jesus is bound to be, you can imagine him thinking, gosh, I'm taking my last breath here. All these people are screaming at me. They're cursing at me. They're calling me horrible names. And do they get it at all? Maybe I've made a mistake. Maybe I'm not the Christ after all. And the thief says, I know you are. And I know where you're going. And when you get there, will you remember me? And Jesus says, what? Absolutely. He says, this very day you will be with me. This very day. He doesn't say, well, it's too bad you didn't go to Travis Park. Someone told me you don't know the names of the Bible. You didn't go to pub theology. You didn't go to communion. You don't tithe. He doesn't say any of those things. He doesn't say anything except today you will be with me. Why? Because he's a part of the body. He gets that. That's what Jesus came for. He says, I want them all to be one with me as I am one with you. Now, if Jesus is one with God, and God is one with him, God is one with Christ, and we are one in Christ, then we are one, right? I mean, that's just the way it works out. I can't not be a part of the body if I'm a part of God, and I am a part of God. You are too. We live and breathe and move and have our being in God's holy presence, and that's just the way it is. So there cannot be an other. That's where we fall apart. That's where it breaks down. We continually think of someone who doesn't look like us, who doesn't talk like us, doesn't act like us, doesn't dress like us, doesn't believe like us. They're the other somehow, and they're not a part. And Jesus is saying, oh, no, we are. There's no other way for us to get to heaven than to be. We either we're all going or no one's going. It's that simple. I mean, that's what he came for, was to bring us into life full, rich, abundant, and everlasting. The sad part is, even though I know that, and even though you know that, we still occasionally live as though that's just not true. And somehow we need reminding of that. I don't know if you saw President Obama giving one of his speeches not long ago. He says, you know, no one had to tell me that racism is wrong. No one had to pass that word out to me. I know that racism is wrong. We know that, right? Nobody has to tell us that, right? And yet somehow we still live in a world where that just seems to be the order of the day. I'm a Methodist pastor, and 150 years ago, our annual conference, the Texas Conference, took a man named Anthony Bewley. I'm just curious if anybody knows that name. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. If you know Anthony Bewley's name and his story, would you raise your hand right quick? Okay, I'm going to just say quickly, okay, thank you. All right, I'm going to just say a quick word about that. Anthony Bewley was an abolitionist pastor from the North who moved down to Texas. And as the Civil War was going on, he was chased. He wasn't chased out. He ran away because his life was in danger. We sent a lynch mob after him and caught up with him, took him to Fort Worth, hung him, left his body to be desecrated. The children played with his bones for weeks. His widow and his children were denied the pension that he could have gotten from the Methodist Church. In our archives right now, it says maybe the punishment was harsh, but many felt that he got what he deserved. Sometime 10 years after the war, his widow finally got her pitiful little pension. That was our response, the Methodist Church's response to one of their own to finally make amends, if you can call it that. Jesus is saying, that's where that scripture that says, you know, if we're going to live like that, maybe it would have been better if we'd never even been born. If we're going to cause people to sin, if we're going to live like that, maybe we do need to pluck out our eye or cut off our hand or whatever it might take in order not to cause those kinds of rents in the body of Christ. Because when we do, it's not just the body that suffers. I got to tell you, Anthony Bewley, victim that he was, he could have said the same thing that the thief on the cross could have said, let me be with you this day. And I guarantee you, I don't know what else, but I know that Anthony Bewley is sitting next to the Lord. The folks who perpetrated that kind of indignity and that kind of atrocity were living in hell themselves and just didn't know it, just didn't realize it. And I find myself when I get judgmental, when I get into that and harden my heart and begin to think of the other, the folks who don't think like I think or don't have my politics or my theology or whatever that might be, when I get that way, I'm living in hell myself. And so the only way out of that is to not be that way, is to say, Lord, tell me, what do you want me to do today? You know, open my heart and open my mind and tell me where to go and what to say, how to live, so that I can have that salt in my life. Salt me with the Holy Spirit. My wife is a chemistry teacher, a scientist, and she says, you know, when you sprinkle salt over fire, it glows red. It just glows red. And I want to be salted like that. I want the Holy Spirit sprinkled over my life in such a way that I'm just on fire, glowing with that. And it happens. It happens to us, those moments, when we're doing what we call, someone coined, a random act of kindness. It just seems like a random act of kindness, but it's no big deal, except we get into this groove somehow and things just start working out and lives are changed, including our own. We offer healing and we find ourselves being healed as well. It happens every single day. You've had that happen in a grocery store, standing in line at the bank, walking down the street. You say a kind word to someone, you speak to someone, conversation begins to take place, and lives get changed somehow. The whole day just turns around. I want to say just a real quick story. Ann and I were blessed enough to go traveling, and we had gone to England. It had been a long flight and a long day, and we were going off to this place in the north. We'd been awake for about 24 hours. It was jet lag and all this stuff, and all we wanted to do was go to the bed and breakfast that we're going to be staying at. We got to the train station, this little town of about 7,000, and all I want to do is just go find a taxi. Please, God, let me find one and go to bed, right? I cannot stand it. And so sure enough, here comes the taxis along, and then there's a line of people and all this, and let me get to the place. And sure enough, here comes a taxi, and a young lady gets out, and she's got her luggage, and before she can even get her, instead of helping her and you know, being gracious or anything, I'm knocking on the window of the door and saying, can you take me to the B&B? And this taxi driver's looking at me like, you know, horns are honking and all this stuff. There's a lot of energy going on, and he says, I don't know where that's at. And I said, look, we've got the address. We'll tell you. Can you just take us? He said, sure. So let's just get out of the way here. Okay. We get in. We drive off. We get outside of town. We're not going the way that I think we're supposed to go. I've been to this place before. It's not there. And we're trying to talk, and he's got his GPS, and he says, now give me the address. I'm, you know, well, that's not the place. But we drive 20 minutes, finally, and we get somewhere way out in the country, and I think, you know, we're going to be killed. This is a scam, right? He's not really a taxi driver. He's just going to take us out and take our luggage away because it's so valuable, right? And we'll find ourselves out in the middle of nowhere. Well, we were out in the middle of nowhere, and he waits on us. I said, look, please don't leave. This is not the place we want to stay at. Long story short, we stay there anyway. And as I'm getting ready to send him on his way, he's been there for, it's been almost an hour. And I'm thinking, we're going to owe this guy a lot. He says, no charge. I said, what? He says, no. He says, I enjoyed it. He said, you know what? I found a place I didn't know even existed. I've never been out here. I've lived here all my life. Didn't know nothing about it. I didn't know it was here. It was a great day. That's on me. No worries. I said, we're going to pay you. So we paid him something, you know, and off he went. We finally got to sleep. It was a great night. The next day, we go back to the train station. We get another ride. And as we go, to my horror, when we get to where the taxis are at, I realize, Gavin, he was not a taxi driver. He was not a taxi driver. The man I beat on the wall and said, can you take me out to this place? And he went, huh? Was just a guy dropping his girlfriend off. He was not a taxi driver. And he's looking at me like, what? You're not from around here, are you? You don't sound like you're from England. Oh, I get it. White privilege, right? Sure. Old cranky old man drive you around. Sure, get in the car. I got nothing else to do. Well, you know what? I can imagine the whole town just going, shame, shame, shame. Go back home. That didn't happen. As it turned out, I mean, really, I don't think he did have anything else to do. He was dropping his girlfriend off, and it was like, I got nothing else to do except go watch the telly or mow the yard. Why not? Sure, I'll go drive around. It was a random act of kindness on his part. It was one of the most gracious things that has ever happened to me. I will remember it to my dying day when I go through my life and think about all the wonderful things that happened. I remember that guy in London that got me to my bed for free, you know, how wonderful that was. What I'm saying is, when we awaken and are alert and aware, and we're aware enough to say, you know what, I want the Holy Spirit in me. Keep me focused, Lord, on you. Keep me open to your presence and let me do those things that I can be helpful, that I can offer somebody a cup of cold water, that I can drive down to McAllen, and even if they don't accept my gift, you know, someone's going to be blessed by that. I will be blessed by that. I'm convinced those kinds of random acts of kindness, those cups of cold water, questions unasked, you know, will heal us and will heal our country, will heal our world, heal our church, and we'll be the people of God that we're in fact really called to be and in fact are. As you see that scene at McCain's funeral where George Bush and Michelle Obama are sitting next to each other and they're passing candy back and forth to each other. It's just a simple, sweet little moment there where one of them needs a piece of candy. And, you know, the sermon is going on, which reminds me, I need to wrap this up. I get that. But I'm just saying, but the sermon is going on, you know, and one of them is saying, like, I need something. Yeah, you got it. Here it is. How sweet in the middle of all this divisiveness, in the middle of all of this brokenness, in the middle of all this angst and pain that our country and our nation and our world is going through, here are these two passing candy to each other. Just a simple little deal, but what a cup of cold water it was for me. How refreshing it was to say, it reminds me of values that were once held in our country, values that were once held in my life and in yours as well, that we can, you know, we can agree to disagree. We can be on different planes and backgrounds and all that, but we can still just be gracious to one another. Today, I guarantee you, God is going to set up a random act of kindness for you and for me. And maybe before you even leave here, you'll see someone or a situation is going to come up that God is going to be wanting you or me to offer a cup of cold water to somehow by a gracious word or act or deed, a smile, a handshake, whatever it might be. But a life will be changed, and it very well may be our own as well. So today, let us just be who we are. Let us be the salt of the earth. Let it not be too much, but just the right amount. And just let God be the one who arbitrates all that, determines all that. Let's go forth and be the people of God that we in fact are. Remember who you are and whose you are. God loves you so very, very much. Remember that and let someone else know it as well. God bless you. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the healing that you have offered us through your word and through your deeds in life, through the way your spirit comforts us and restores us to the fullness of life. We love you so very much, and we know that you love us, so help us to respond to that love always. And as we respond to it, let us give that love and that peace, that sweet, sacred peace that has saved us to those that we encounter. And let us remember that whoever we see and wherever we may see them, we're looking on the face of Christ. This is our brother, this is our sister, this is our father, this is our mother. This is a member of the body of Christ, a member of the family, and we are part of that as well. So let us live in such a way that honors that and brings glory to your name, and that your kingdom may in fact be here on earth. All these things we pray in your precious name. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless.
It's going to be.